is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Tiffany Ware, and I am the podcast host. And I'm here today with a lovely lady. I think I met this lady when I was a little girl. Her mama, my mom worked at, I think, Central together. And they worked in family resource, I believe. And she has just been a super joy to just be around. I consider her my life coach. I always have. Career coach, just coach on everything, honestly. So I would like to introduce and to some and present to others, Miss Georgina Porter Wilson. Hi, Miss Georgie.
Good morning. Good morning. I thank you so much, Tiffany, for having me. Of course, you know, life is life and all the time, but I am Georgina Porter Wilson, and I am currently a resident, of course, of Maury County, born and raised here. I am here today just serving on the panel with Tiffany, just to give you some background as a therapist, as a counselor. And so what I have done over the probably last 6 years, I developed a curriculum on grief, and it was just a support group, not so much counseling, but that was just to provide an outlet for individuals who are struggling with grief and who need just to know that they're not alone. And so today, that's why I'm here, just to share with Tiffany, answer some questions, and hopefully be a resource to our community. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, Miss. And I call her Miss Georgie. I think Quinn probably started that long time ago. So if you don't, that's okay. Yes. I'm gonna call you Miss Georgie throughout our little time together.
Absolutely, today. That's who I am.
Yes, yes. But thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. So I always start off every session, Miss Georgie, with just a quick icebreaker. And usually it's something fun, okay. But I actually, this time around, I thought we're in the new year and I wanted to know, and we'll revisit this toward the end, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Self-care. Self-care is one of the things, it's the tip for life, period, because you realize on this journey called life, we give, we find ourselves losing who we are as a result of life. That could be just our daily work schedules, family obligation, church obligations, community obligations. And so self-care at the top of the list, because I have learned over the years that you can't give from, and you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't give something that you don't have. And so self-care every day, and especially when you're starting a new year, you know, during the new year, we want to do New Year's resolutions, you know, have those goals. But I encourage people to have daily goals. And then from that daily goal, you can build weekly goals. And from those weekly goals, of course, you can come up with monthly goals. Each month then will turn into a yearly goal. So self-care is number one.
Awesome. I like that answer. And I like how you, it's like gradual. Like you don't have to just start with this big plan for the month. Like just start by the day, then by the week.
Yes, moment, really.
Good practice. Yeah, I really like that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for the icebreaker. So next, we're just going to get into who is Georgina Porter Wilson. You mentioned a little bit about your background, but yeah, just tell the people a little bit about you, your credentials, and also what inspired or made you want to get into the social services or mental health field.
Okay, so just a little bit about who I am and how I arrived at this stage in life. You know, you mentioned earlier about the journey at Columbia Central High School. Yes, I got to work with some fantastic people, Janet Ware being one. So she's my sister now. She's my diva sister. And so I worked actually in the guidance office, and they worked in the family resource office. And so we made that connection. Of course, I was the registrar in the guidance office. It's kind of like one of those positions where I did all the records, but then anything else that was assigned to me. And during that journey, of course, I wasn't a guidance counselor, but students would tend to come to me for advice, and you know, I kept getting in trouble for it, you know. So I said, okay, I'm gonna go back to school, but I'm not At that time, I didn't think about going back to school to be a guidance counselor. I just wanted to be a counselor for our community. And so it was through other, you know, relationships, friendships. So Sheila Taylor and Charlene Brooks, all of us, you know, decided we're going to be our own cohort. And so we went back to school together. Like, oh my God, you know, families. So I am a wife of, oh my God, 24 years, been married to my husband. I'm a mother of two wonderful children. I have five grandchildren. So it has been a journey watching all of this unfold before me. But to be transparent, life hurts. Life hurts. Things over the years that have brought me to the point where I needed to understand that it's okay to talk to somebody about some things, some trauma, some things that happened to you in your life. And many people, you have always looked at me as like, oh, that's, you know, my nickname is Cookie. You know, that's Cookie. Mm-hmm. She's the youngest. Yeah. I'm the youngest of four. And so my father died, passed away when I was 6 years old, and my mom never remarried until I was a junior in college. Mm-hmm. And so I was the first one to go to college. And so my brother was kind of like the male role model in my life. And so everyone, he's 7 years. My other sister's 10 years. My other sister's 14 years. That's the age difference between all of us. So it's like, yeah, most people don't realize that they think I'm older than my sister Gwen, who's 10 years older than me. But no, I'm the baby. And so through all of the things that, you know, you experience. And so I grew up in a household of a single parent, but really she wasn't a single parent. I just, as a point of losing my father. And so I've always been around strong women. I didn't have any point of reference of really marriages, leaving my aunt, you know, she was a strong woman. My grandmother was a strong woman. And then, you know, all these people. So I found myself, you know, mid-30s or whatever it was at the time, trying to figure out, what is my life purpose? And so some of the things with abuse, just, you know, I wasn't like, you know, with my mom, it wasn't like a physical abuse. Of course it really was. But in today's times, you know, it would be considered that. But it was like a struggle with yourself, trying to understand, where am I? Who am I? And what is my purpose? And so that's where the counseling came in. I realized, watching people, you know, sexual abuse, those things, it was gut-wrenching, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and some things like you never talk about. And so you just kind of tuck them away and you just live life. And so that's how I got into counseling. Like I said, I want to be a resource to others to have. I'm naturally an encourager, but what most people don't realize, I'm really an introvert. I have such an extrovert exterior. But I really like to retreat to myself, you know, look at, you know, read a good book or a good movie. I'm not really just a TV watcher. You know, for a long time, you remember your parents had to check on me and tell me what was going on with the news because Georgina didn't cut on the TV. Those are things people don't realize. But I got here because I want to be a resource, a support to others, because life is serious. And grief comes in many different, you know, fashions. We think about death of you know, people we love, but you know, loss in jobs, loss of home, material things, those are all things that we find ourselves grieving over. And I wanted people to understand that even with relationships, our expectations for someone else may not be the expectations that person has for themselves or in life. If we could finally find hope. Mm-hmm. So I was like, meet people where they are. So in turn, and later, they can meet us where we are. So I got here because life, you hear me? I've endured a lot of death over the course of my lifetime. I have endured a lot of rough spots where, you know, is it my decision or is it the decision of someone else? And I am at the recipient. I'm the recipient of whatever it is that's happened. So why I'm here, like I said, it's just, I wanted to be a support, give someone an opportunity to be comfortable in their own skin and understand that life is all about what we make it. And every action starts with a thought.
Yeah, I like that, Miss Georgie. And it's actually a good segue into our next discussion. In thinking about, you mentioned the grief of losing your father so young. Is that the first time you remember experiencing loss and grief? Was it at that time?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's vivid. Yeah. It's a vivid memory.
Yeah, feel free to share, because I did not realize that. I didn't know, you know, your father died so young as a child. So do you want to share anything about that with the audience and just what that experience was like?
Absolutely. So for me, it was a matter of survival. You know, we were initially living in Hampshire. And he lost his sight, you know, started going out. There was a series of things. He was a school bus driver. So everyone loved my father. They, you know, would ride his bus and all that. So everyone has all these grand memories of my father, right? What plays back in my mind is me taking him by his hand. He had a, you know, walking cane, and we would go around. And also he had renal failure. So he passed away at age 50. So that I'll go on to tell you about that as we progress. So we will, you know, take me by my hand. We will walk around the house. We moved to Southside to public housing. So you can imagine going from little country people to having to now move into public housing, where then it was the, you know, survival of the fittest. It wasn't like, oh, we got this nice little neighborhood. It's a nice little neighborhood today. But that was not the case when we moved in the late 70s. So that was shock, number one, and kind of denial that I'm in this position. So that was kind of a grief start for me, number one, because I'm going to kindergarten. I didn't go to any like pre-K, anything like that. I hung out with my mom and my dad until he passed away. Then I go to school. Of course, my mom ran the dialysis machine back then in our apartment there. And so, you know, having all this medical equipment, you know, coming in constantly, it was just like, I look back now thinking, man, how did she do that? And how did we, you know, survive? So that to me, I felt robbed, because my siblings, like I told you, the age difference between us, they can remember, you know, going on like church trips, and my dad would drive the, you know, the bus for the church and spending time, you know, like, you know, he was a farmer. He had all these multiple things that he would do, but he was so, he was like the male role model for his family. Like my cousins, all of us, and we were so close. At one point, all of us, I guess, lived in the house together. Well, it wasn't me because I wasn't born, but they did. And so, you know, family is a big part of who I am. And I believe in helping others, because that's what he did. And that whole grief process for me, I didn't even realize, I didn't know what it was like to be in a family, a two-parent household. And so that loss, I thought it was just what it was. You know what I'm saying? You live, you die, and you have to figure out how to make it, you know, beyond that point. And so for me, it was just different. Like you go to school and you did, you know, my mom, she told us what we had to do. We did what we had to, you know, but at the same time, who am I? I don't know what it looks like to be in a home with two parents. And I remember my husband now, his family, that was my point of reference of a husband and a wife. And I would go hang out way before there was us at their house because his sister and I were best friends. And he was a fisherman, a hunter. He provided for his family. So that was my role model in my mind, outside of my brother, of trying to provide for your family. And he was an older gentleman. So it would just be, I would sit on the, you know, on the porch and watch him do all these things. But I now know I was looking for that father figure in him, not realizing what I was doing at the time. So that was a void in my life that has always been a challenge for me. Because now, even after being married, you know, 24 years, you know, everything, it was just different. I did everything backwards. You know, I went to college because I was determined to do that. But the part for me that was so difficult is realizing it is important to have a male figure, positive male figure in your life, so that you're not reaching out struggling, trying to figure out, you know, the expectation. So for you, Tiffany, you know, you are truly, truly blessed because haven't been able to see your father, but not just your father, you know what I'm saying? Positive role models. And I understand, you know, a challenge, because here's the expectation. You know, I've been, you know, treated as a queen for years. However, how do you transcend that? You know, I'm not going to, you know, I can't lower my expectations, you know, my standards, because this is what I know. And so for me, I didn't have, like I said, it was just a void. I felt robbed because I was 6 years old without a father, but everyone has all these great things to say about him. You're a lot like your dad because you talk a lot or whatever, because my mom is quiet. Sweetest can be, but not outspoken by any means. And then my other sisters, they both are quiet. Then this, my brother and I, we probably talk more, and I probably talk more than he does. So it's like, who am I really? You know, I look like my mama, but they say I act like my daddy, but I don't have a point of reference.
That's a good
So that was a void. I feel like I felt robbed.
When you, that's traumatic. And you know, and like you said, back then it wasn't, nobody was going to therapy to let help a child process what that looks like. You know, you go from two parents to one, and then you shift from, and I know how it is out in the country, you know, just the freedom of the land and all of that, to come into town, which is different. Then being in public housing, which is different from where you had started. So all of that, I'm sure, was traumatic in a way. And even though you were young, Miss Georgie, you mentioned, of course, what was your dad's name, by the way? Because I like naming me.
It's Morrell Porter.
Morrell Porter. In his loss, and Jen, just some of the things you just mentioned, did you ever lose hope? And if so, how did you overcome it? If not, what sorts of strength did you have, like from a child on up until now? Because I know personally of a lot of death that has occurred within your family and things like that. How did or did you not maintain that hope?
I think our faith, you know, it was our faith, my faith. That's all I knew was, this is what's funny, Tiffany. We would get up early on a Sunday morning and be in church all day long. When I say all day long, you didn't know how the community choir, my plus community choir, they would have a concert somewhere, or New Haven Echoes, or the Gospel Truth. Honey, we was, there was something going on. And guess what? We are trying behind our mom to the next service, the next service. So our faith. But sometimes we got lucky and we could stay with my aunt. My aunt Willie Mae, and she would allow us to stay there, and we could maybe skip one of those services before going home at 9 or 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. So it was our faith, and I didn't know anything else other than the strength that was displayed before me. Like I said, my grandmother lived out there on Gravel Hill by herself in the country, you know. You know, would go out. She would hunt. She had a garden. Oh, my God, a big garden. So it was all about survival. You take what you have and you get up and you make it happen. Yes, there's going to be some trying times in your life, but do you believe in God? So basically, my hope was built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And that's where we were. It was like, I didn't know any better. And so as you know, go from being in elementary school to middle school, I mean, having to fight. I mean, that's, you lived in Southside back then. You had to fight. I fought more boys probably than I did girls. And most people were like, what? Yeah, it happened.
I've heard the stories, but you had to survive.
You couldn't show any weakness. You can show any weakness. And you had to confront things as they, you know, came upon you. And I feel like that's what's missing in our society now with our youth, because they're facing bullying. We were bullied, you know, everybody was bullied, but you had to have that same resiliency and confidence in yourself. I don't think, you know, social media, all the things that's out here now, it has taken, it has removed our ability to process and think for mm-hmm. ourselves. Everything is thinking yeah. for us. Oh my goodness, AI. Yep. What? You can't even write a sentence? So all of these things I feel like have hurt us. But for me, it was my faith because I didn't know anything else. And it was the strength of the people who were in my life. Like I said, I had my aunt, my mom, my grandmother. That was like, boom. They were not the only ones. You know, I had other people in the church, other cousins, but they showed me firsthand, it's okay. Yeah, it's going to be real. My grandmother was no nonsense. You hear me? Mm-hmm. That, you know, older people, they didn't have all the fuzzy, wuzzy, hug you, kiss you, none of that. But before she left this world, I showed her, I would hug her and kiss her, and she'd be like, get on away. But I knew, because she would talk to Matilda Wyatt, that she was so proud of who I had become. Because when I told her I was going to go to school, she told me, no, you need to get a job. So strength. Mm-hmm. Our faith is how I made it to where I am. But it's only because of the role models that were before me that displayed their strength and their faith. Yeah. They executed. You hear me? It wasn't just lip service. We walked in it.
Yeah.
So that's how I got to overcome it. Because like I said, you have him. And then after that, it was just kind of like a roller coaster of cousins. And I remember when my grandmother passed, that was the biggest for me. In 95, I was pregnant with my son. I remember being in the hospital and they said, you might need to step out if you think you're pregnant. I was like, I'm not pregnant. My mother-in-law told me, she said, girl, I believe you're pregnant. I'm like, I'm not pregnant. I was. And so that was detrimental to me because, number one, it didn't go in the order I thought it should go in. I'm not married at the time, and I'm resisting getting married because I'm like, oh, we don't have to get married because we have a child. Why? Miss Independent, resilient, you know, strength. And I didn't even know what it would even look like to be a wife. So I rebel, but she passed away in April. I think that's right. Sometimes, you know, you put things in your mind and you block them out. And I'm going, is it April or was it March? So much has happened in those months for me that I can't even. Yeah. So, but it was 1995 because Quan was born in August. So I was devastated because she was my everything. You know, I went to live with her in high school. That's why I didn't graduate from Columbia Central. The man that lived, she had allowed to build a house at the end of her driveway, he had passed away. So that was kind of like, I call it her boyfriend. They didn't really say that. Anyway, he built a house down at the end. And so when he had passed away, they left her out there truly by herself. You know, her nephews, my cousins, they lived, you know, would come out there, they lived with him. So they would kind of check on each other. So at that point, my brother and myself, we went out there. But then we, as our family moved, we had put a mobile home right on the opposite side of her. And so that's how I ended up a graduate of Spring Hill High School and not Columbia Central. Back then, we went to ninth grade in with Thorne. And then, so I was in 10th grade when I went to Spring Hill. So it was one of those, like I said, just, I just can't even put into words how it all came to be. But her death, that was a whole nother level of grief. But once again, my faith is what got me through it.
I think that's important when we think about our foundation. In the work I do, and I'm sure I know you're familiar with ACEs, and when we think about, you know, building strong brains for our kids, I mean, that foundation is everything. And I think faith is just in our culture, you know, all of us start out, just the first thing you learn is going to church. And so I think that's a good point to just the foundational piece of all of it, for sure, for sure. So with that being said, Ms. Georgie, I know you are very familiar with the five stages of grief. Have in any moment of you losing, whether it was your dad or family members, did you ever experience any of the stages? And if so, what did that look like for you? And then also, I want to know from a professional perspective of the people you've counseled on grief, what was their, what do you see the most? Like, is it all of the stages or just certain ones? Just want to know what your thoughts on that.
It's definitely all of the stages. However, shock you know, is at the forefront. Because if it's something sudden, shock, you can stay in shock, you know, and through the whole service, you know, if there is a service, until that, whatever that closure is for you. And then I tried to tell in my counseling where for me, shock, I was in denial. I stayed in denial probably with my grandmother probably a year. Like in my mind, like I kind of disassociated myself. So I just stayed, you know, in denial about she was really gone. Anger, I didn't ever really just get angry about any of it. Later in life with my dad, I was angry only because I felt like I was robbed of that love, that care. He always called me daddy, sweet girl, blah, blah, blah. I think that's how I became Cookie, you know. So that's my story. I stick to it. I don't know how I got that name. I think it was him. And that's almost, I'm going to stick to it. I have no point of reference. And so bargaining, typically the bargaining stage comes into place when you're trying to get your mind wrapped around, one, this is my reality. So you're going, so Lord, if I can, you know, if I'm able to do this, then this. If you help me do this, then this, you know. And so just think about the people who don't have that same relationship that we have with God, that realization. So I've dealt with those people. And I often ask them over and over again, I said, what is your reason for, what is your purpose of being able to get up every day, press through the depression, press through the grief itself? And to answer your question, people bounce between stages. Just when you think you have got it together, you're in acceptance, you're able to move on, then you go right back into denial or anger or, you know, the whole depression. Depression will ride you the entire time if you don't have a plan.
It sure will.
The plan. It will ride you. People like, oh, you're acting different, or, you know, and you have to push yourself through it. Because oftentimes, you know, just as a counselor, we're not psychiatrists. I'm not, you know, that's not where I am, you know. So I'm not going to prescribe you any medication, but I can give you tools to assist you along the journey if you're willing to do them. You always hear me say, breathe, taking that deep breath. Whether we realize it or not, we breathe so shallow, but deep breathing allows you to reset. So as you go through these different stages of grief, what's important is to understand you can shift back and forth as many times on this whole journey, because it could be 20 years from now. It could be 30 years from now. Like me thinking about Lena Alexander. That was my grandmother's name, Lena Alexander. And I never talked to Quentin about the whole Alexander thing. But anyway,
right.
Her name was Lena Alexander. Right. I never talked to him about it. It just hit me just then. But she was just a marvelous, strong-willed woman who barred none. You hear me? But when her house burned, that was another, oh my God, trauma. You hear me? I'm like, Lord, Mama, I'm sorry, because we called her Mama. Mama, I'm so sorry. It was like she had just passed away. Because that was one of her greatest fears. Because, you know, they had the wood-burning stove. And, you know, up in the flute, she would always say, you know, you can't, gotta make sure there's not something. So it won't, that was not how it caught on fire. It was actually a storm. And I think lightning may have hit the pump, you know, that was out. And it, you know, ignited. I think I might be making it up. I don't know. Coming outside you, in and out. But it wasn't because of a fire. It was a storm. And then, you know. And all of that was, like I said, just like she had just passed away. So when you're looking at these stages, like I said, you can shift back and forth only because you don't know where you are. You are trying your best to do all that you can. But at the end of the day, we are human. We have real emotions, real raw feelings, and you have to put them somewhere. You can't stuff it. You've got to process through it. So it's, you know, across the board, like I said, those who had no faith, they later became like, okay, I think I need to try this God that you're talking about, or I've got to find that outlet. I've got to find my purpose because I'm not going to make it. So if you can reestablish that hope, we can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Without hope, people feel hopeless.
That's right.
You see the spiral of the mental health decline. Yeah. It's a spiral. You see people who you thought, hey, they had it all together, but they were stuck in denial stage, and they caused themselves not to grieve. They were stuck and did not allow anyone to enter in. You know how you close yourself off?
When that happens,
when you're locked in, and your mind. I'm telling you, your mind is all that we have to be able to try to hold on to. It's our mind. Because every action starts with a thought. And we got to remember that. So if I feel like, Lord, help me, I can't even get out the bed today. But you got to see yourself getting out the bed. You got to see yourself getting in that shower. You see what I'm saying? It has to become a visual. In order to walk in it.
Yeah. No, that's true, Ms. Joy. It's a roller coaster. Like you say, I mean, one day, I know for me specifically, one day I'm, still in denial. You know, one day I'm bargaining, questioning myself, like, why did I not pay attention to this or that? So it's definitely a roller coaster for sure. Yeah, I agree 100%. So I was also going to ask you, Ms. Georgie, so of course we all have unexpected life events that occur, you know, whether there's sickness, of course, death, you know, just life, like they say, life be lifing. How have you been able to maintain your own personal mental health during those times? Because I think about, people, you know, sometimes you may have an illness that just hits you, or you may have a family member that just just gone, like no rhyme or reason, even like heart attacks, just different things. Just want to know how you personally maintained your mental space.
Okay. So you do know I have renal failure. And that was crazy because there was no, like you said, no rhyme or reason. So when that took place in my life, 2013, I had an upper respiratory infection, and I was at work, and they had to take me by ambulance because I could not breathe. I mean, it was crazy. And so my outlook on life is, if I have breath in my body, that's another opportunity, right? When that took place, I couldn't breathe. I'm like, everybody around me is like freaking out. Like, going, Georgina, da da da. I said, I was at the scene of this window up there at the Workforce Development Center, you know, at the training center. What is it called now?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's called. That's where my brain is at the moment.
Up in Spring Hill.
Northfield. Yes, Northfield Workforce Development. That's where we were. And I was working out of that office, and there's those big windows. So I took myself into like the seam of the window so that that cool air could hit, because it was in January, and they kept saying, oh, okay. So they did all these tests. And so it was after I had gotten out, they gave me all this medicine. They called me back and they said, do you know that you have stage 2 kidney disease at that time? I said, no, I do not. Wow. We think it'll be fine, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't even a year later. I had gone from stage 2 to stage 3 to stage 4. And then here I am in complete renal failure, according to them. And so me being me, I'm like, I'm not doing that. So just as like I'm talking to you, I had prayed, got up, you know, and it's just as clear as I'm talking to you now, it's just take charge of your health. What did I do? I took anything that's processed out of my life. I, you know, was walking and walking and walking. Mm-hmm. Doing all those things, stayed off of dialysis for 4 years, was on dialysis 3 years, 3 days. So how did I do that? I worked full time, and then I realized that probably wasn't the journey for me. That's how God allowed me to go through those things, because I'm not a diabetic. I didn't have hypertension. They couldn't figure out how or why that took place. So when you look at those things, that was traumatic for me. Yeah. But what kept me going through that was that I had to accept this has happened to me.
Okay.
Then how am I going to move forward? What's my plan? Every death, the death of my best friend was hard. The death of both of their parents was very hard. That was like, so I became like this little, I'm the funeral coordinator, basically, because they hadn't gone through the death of a parent, but I already had. But then my nieces, they're losing their mothers who were their rock. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can I help, in 2016, that's when I came up with the whole, grief support plan. And it's all biblically based, because that was the foundation that allowed me to keep moving. So what we have to say to ourselves when situations happen, how am I going to move from this point to that point? We got to realize there's so much in life that we have absolutely no control over. None. We can second guess our moves, our positions. But guess what? Some things we have absolutely no control over. That we have some input, that's where we are able to operate. So just with you coming up with this platform, Tiffany, This is your wheelhouse. This is where you can operate, and it's going to allow you to continue to move forward, because this is a platform that's open to everybody. You're not alone. Help me to help you. So at the end of the day, you have to choose what is my next step. Am I going to connect? Because those are my little three C's I'm always talking about: choose, connect, and communicate. But we'll talk more about that as we go along. Knowing that all the things that I have endured, my actions, they had to come from my thoughts. You hear me? Then I had to be able to lean into my faith.
Yeah.
Meditating, that's how do I maintain on a daily basis? Because you do realize I have almost half the state probably at this point.
Yes.
That I operate with the Department of Labor. So, I was just in Memphis yesterday. I was in Jackson on Thursday. I was just in Clarksville. I tell people, they go, what? Yeah, I drove and came back. I didn't go and stay in Cup. That's another day, another story. But how do I maintain? I mainly ride in silence. I allow that time just to meditate. I look at the trees. I let the window down and just allow myself to take deep breaths and say, Lord, you are true. You are real. You are faithful. And so that goes back to that self-care. I'm telling you, I'm trying to go back to, I used to walk a lot or had like a little circuit I would do every morning. I find myself now, I can't even get to the bike that I'm looking at right before me going, just get on there and just ride. Because my time now is, I would do that at 5:30 in the morning. Now some days at 5:30 in the morning, I'm needing to walk out the door to drive to whatever location I need to be for the day. So I've got to now get control of that, because that was a great outlet for me. Music is a great outlet for me. Reading is a great outlet for me. So whatever that self-care is for you, that's how I've gotten to where I am today.
I think everybody has to find out what works for them. And I also like the fact you mentioned, we have to take charge of our lives, and we have to get to a point of acceptance. Whatever life throws our way, we have to get to that point of acceptance so we can make the plan on how we're going to move forward. Because we're still here. So I like that answer. Thank you. That was very encouraging for me, for sure. So let me ask you this, with all of that in mind, how has grief changed your perspective on life, or has it? Whether that's grieving, death, or even, you mentioned in the renal failure. I mean, I'm sure that was a period of like, wow, oh my goodness. Like, what is this going to look like moving forward? So.
Yes. Yeah. Tiffany, I didn't think I was going to live to see 50. That's why I celebrated the way I did. I did all of that. I gave, what was it, blankets and hand sanitizers, lotions, what else? Body wash. I did a whole lot of that giving back to my battle buddies. I did a whole nursing home down in Mount Pleasant. People gave me donations and I'm walking the journey with them. I said, I'm in here shopping. This is what we are able to do. I had so much support that I was able, you know, my birthday is January 7th. So I did that the whole year. It was amazing because my dad, once again, passed away at 50. So I thought, I'm not going to make it because I am the chosen one. I'm the one with the ring of failure. What in the world is happening to me? And I was like, what? I was shocked at first. Then I was in denial, of course. Then I was determined that I wasn't going to do any type of dialysis. But my mom was like, look, you're too young not to, you know, you can make it, you can do whatever. But she was like, wonk, 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 wonk. Just like, that's what it was sounding like to me. But what I was able to do with grief as a whole now, I say it's a part of life. We all have a purpose. We all have a plan. When our purpose, when our assignment is complete, it doesn't matter what we think. Our assignment is complete. So I look at grief as just that. Whoever is passed, whoever has lost something, if you lost a job, if you lost a home, that part of your life is complete. But when it's death, your assignment is complete. That doesn't mean if you've lost a job, if you lost a home, if you take that deep breath, you have another opportunity. But in death, you look at that person's life. What was their meaning? What was their purpose? What impact did they have on me? And you take a moment and just think about that. And then you go back and start looking at those memories. Like, what did they always say that they wanted to do? If I'm not here, I want you to do what? Sometimes we never get that opportunity because I think about with my grandmother, she said, you know, she never did prepare. You know, people don't prepare you to live without them, right? So when I look at grief, I tell people, think about those conversations, because if they were someone who never talked about, you know, death with Quentin, we know he did. He just, you know, I told him, I said, I knew in his heart of hearts, he wanted to be a funeral director. I know he did. Because he had. I was like, he said, you know, Georgie, I said, man. I would laugh at him. He would tell me some things, Tiffany. I'm like, what? Like, but he never really shocked me. He never really shocked me. He just knew that I loved him and he loved me, and whatever it was, here. I'm going to support you. That's all it was. So when I look at all of those things, what I'm saying today is, whatever conversations that we are having with our loved ones, or the circumstances or situations that have allowed us to be in a place, we've got to look at, okay, it's happened. It's happened. Whatever that is, now what? What?
That's right.
I have breath still, or I have so many memories. I have so much to be thankful for, because why? I had an opportunity to experience that joy, that unconditional love, that peace, you know what I'm saying? And because I had a love for whatever it was, and that was a commonality for whoever I mates or friends or whoever it is, because so much, I'm telling you, I look around at people now, the death of mothers, friends, fathers, cousins, children, you know? I can't even fathom losing a child, but my sister did. And oh my God, my nephew was so sweet and full, 13 years old. And you're thinking, how rare, you know what I'm saying? I look at her and she's still able to go. She didn't lose her mind. That is and you know, I talk to you, your mom, I tell you, we don't know about that stage. So we see people who are able to keep going when you have lost a child. Because as bad and as hurtful as, I mean, as the pain that you feel in the loss of your mate, your friend, your whatever that is in our lives, to experience the loss of a child, to me is, I can't even fathom. I don't want to fathom. But when I look at grief and as a whole, it's now what? What did this circumstance or this person mean to me? what am I going to do next? I can't look to someone else. I have to look in the mirror at myself because this thing is individualized. You can have other people around you, but yet you still feel alone.
Oh, yeah, you can.
So we got to remember that.
Yeah, you're right.
So grief as a whole, I look at it as an opportunity. I do. Mm-hmm. I look at it as an opportunity to be able to be a vessel for God because that's when people are at their lowest. They are empty on the inside. Yeah. And my thought now is, how can I be used to help someone else on this journey? Because it's not the same. I don't care if you lost the same, you know, person, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The relationship you had is different from the relationship with the father, the mother, the sister, you know what I'm saying? The whoever, the cousin. So you got to always remember that it could be a commonality in a person or a situation, but I can't tell you how to grieve. I can't tell you how to feel, but I can support you and say that this too shall pass. Yeah. Only if you allow yourself to accept it and stand. Yeah. Accept it and stand. If not, your mind, I'm telling you, it's going to circle back around and around and around. And that hole, you're trying to figure out, how do I fill this hole? That hole cannot be filled on your own. It's through purpose and understanding.
Yeah.
Grief as a whole, I'm just looking at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, to experience people. And I like how you, because Quinn would always say that, like, Tiffany, people ain't gonna always be, we gotta, you know, you gotta just learn to experience people. And you know him, so at the time I'm like, I know, but you know, you just really don't think about that until you're in a situation like this where it's like, I had a really good experience with that boy. Was it perfect always? No, nothing's perfect, but I mean, the things he poured into me, now I can definitely, I wish he could see how I'm able to use a lot of the tools that I did not always have and different understandings. And all that was due to me, the experience I got with him. And so I like that, that answer, Ms. Georgia, because it's really important. And that's what we can, I was talking to somebody and they were saying, you focus on that, not how the person left this earth. You focus on the experience you had. And so that's just such a true, true statement for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, it doesn't take away the pain, but it helps you to understand, oh, it's purpose. Purpose.
Yep.
All this happened for a reason, right? And now you can pull back from all that foundational knowledge because, oh my God, he had a wealth of knowledge. Biblically sound-minded. That's why you had to go like, you know, you growling like, I'm not going to get into a conversation with you about God because, honey, we're going to be out of here because he had the word. He's going to give you the word. And I'm like, I get it. As fun as it is right now and as frustrated as you may have been, you know, just along the way because you wanted things to happen when you wanted them to happen. And through this whole grief process, we realize it's when God wants it to happen. That's we have to yield to him. We have, you know, it's only a little bit about life, just a little, that we actually have control over.
That's right.
And I think people lose sight of that. They want to, you know, I did this or I did that. No, it's only by God that we do anything, really.
Yeah.
If you are not a believer, then guess what? You keep on going. At some point, you're going to have to call upon the name of the Lord because you're going to find yourself somewhere, whether you call him God or whoever, you know, a power greater than you, you're going to have to call upon him. But for me, it's my God. So. That is what I'm telling you. I just keep pulling on it. You're like, Lord, I need you now. That's why I love that song. I need you now. Like, not another second, not another minute, not a, I need you to come right away.
Right away.
Sometimes that's what we need. And sometimes it's like quicker, you know, come quickly. You know, he's, you say he's an on time God, but it's just when you think he's not present, he is. So I look at grief as, like I said, an opportunity because we got to look at the experiences we had with the person, the situation, the thing, and take from that.
That's true. That is so true. And at you, I'm glad you mentioned some stuff about purpose. That was actually the next question. And thinking about grief experiences, you know, have you found purpose in some of the experiences that you have have encountered? Have you, you feel like you found your purpose in life at this point?
I have. And like I said, and my purpose is none other than to be a support, to be someone, to encourage someone else along the way. That's my purpose. That's my purpose for life, period. And, you know, they, you know, me and my positive edge is for the day, you know, good super Saturday, you know, tomorrow's going to be good, splendid, sanctified Sunday. And it was so funny, Tiffany, I don't care where I have worked, what I have gone through. They're like, no, what day is it again? You know, people try to hang on to that because you have to walk into it. So my purpose is trying to find positivity through the midst of all the hurt, the trauma, the pain. It's like, I know that I know this is not going to last always. And if I can get up today and say it's a super Saturday because I can get up and look in the mirror, I can take a deep breath, I can hear you, you can see me, I still have activity of my limbs, I do have a portion of my health, I do have the ability to stand. It's a super Saturday. It's a super Saturday.
Yeah, we're all very tremendously blessed. So my purpose
is just to encourage.
Gotcha. And I and you've always been there, like always. For me and definitely for Quentin as well. Yes. He would listen in them days of in that computer lab, he heard everything you said.
Is coming there cutting up is what that was.
Cutting up completely.
And you know, but as I look back, all of that, our life journey, it was all about his life journey. That's what people didn't often know about Quentin. I mean, he's going to open up his arm to receive you, but if you knew him, he opened up to give you part of that journey. He didn't go all the way to the core of it, but I always listened to what he didn't say.
Yeah.
And he was determined. He allowed his faith to help him get through that web of the disappointment, that hurt, that constant reminder of, you know, abuse. I mean, it's what is. It's that unspoken.
Yeah.
Yet, if you sit quietly enough, you got to hear the big picture. It didn't take much. You don't have to look all the way back. We all have something in our lives that hurt us. That was a disappointment. And we choose to do something about it. We can choose to not talk to that person again or do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because we got some treacherous things that happen. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to get, am I going to really give you that much of my peace of my life? No, I want to forgive you so that I can move on. You may not ever apologize to me. You may not ever acknowledge that you did something wrong, because most people, when they do things, they don't even think they've done anything wrong because they're sick in their mind. You know, the cycle of abuse, if it's never addressed, it's going to continue to be a cycle. And it becomes normal. And so with grief, if you have people who never accept, you know, they just like, oh, you just got to get up and you got to put your clothes on. You just got to do, it shouldn't be this hard. Yeah, well, that's their coping mechanism. They're going to try to inflict the same thing on you. But at the end of the day, you got to get up and say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but it's not as easy as you're saying it for me. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to where I need to be, but I'm trusting God in the process. I'm trusting my ability of what I am able to do to get me through. So I always remember that it's not what we see now. Okay. Because sometimes you pack away, and you know, if I can share this with you, as I watch you and I look at all the things that have happened, the death of your grandmother, it was big. It was huge. Because loved her. Love your grandfather, but that was younger. You know, it was a time frame. But y'all had a different relationship. You, her, Tiffany, you know what I'm saying? That you had Quentin there because he understood, you know, he understood death. I'm telling you, he understood death. Yes, it hurt, but he understood that purpose that I was talking about. See where you are now, not having him, because it's him that you're grieving now. It's like, okay, do you remember what we did? Because, like, you didn't totally grieve your grandmother because you had, it was kind of like you had him and then y'all moved forward. You see what I'm saying? It's like, wow.
And I was in Memphis and it was just a lot.
And so now it's like, wait a minute, both of y'all are gone and I'm still here. You know, it's just relationships. And even with your aunt's son, you know, that was a different relationship. Yeah. And you're like, you just think about things, how life, it was a different relationship. And then you get to a point where that connection is no longer present, but how do I move forward? So I say that to say, as you're grieving now on this journey and you're doing this platform, I'm hoping that all of it is going to come full circle into a connection where you, when you walk in your peace, you can remember your grandmother, her recipes and stuff that you are able to bake and do, you know what I'm saying? In honor of, because your grief was short because you had somebody right there to kind of stuff it with you. You know what I'm saying? Like we're going, you know what I'm saying? Like we're going, you know, we're going to go home. We're going to go to this church and we're going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to go, you know, out to eat, but whatever. No.
Right.
And so now this is why it's so challenging now, because like, I think I shared with you, I said, nobody knew him like you knew him, and nobody knows you like he knew you.
Oh, of course. That's true, Miss Georgia. You know, that's.
And so it's like I said, it's that purpose. So like. So like I say, it's difficult, but I think this platform is just, oh man, like I told you, I said, I cannot wait until we're like, hey, where we at? I am right here only because he made a way. He made a way for me to breathe and not feel like I can't breathe. He made a way for me to be okay when so many days I wasn't okay. You know, that part.
That's right.
Oh, and then as we're talking about the new year. The new year. Okay. You're like, man, does that mean I close out what happened in 2024? No. That means what happened in 2024 is only going to make me better. Or whenever the year was that you experienced that loss. Each year is only going to bring out another form of greatness in you. Why? Because I lived through this. I'm able to live through this. Well, guess what? I'm standing up today recognizing if I have lived through all of this, I'm still here. I don't care if it was 2 months, one day. If it's months, you really like pinch yourself like, what? I didn't think I would make it here.
That's true.
Continue to do just that.
I will.
And it's going to be okay. But I just wanted to share that little part with you because I said, man, Tiff is now going back and pulling that grief forward. Like, you know, because, you know, it could have been, well, I'm going to go talk to grandma. You know, grandma, can you believe Quinn ahead? No, no, you can't, because grandma left before Quinn. And you know that's how they cut up together. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, wait a minute.
That's true. You have to, you know, I can say that, like you said, Ms. George, Quinn prepared us all for, you know, this is the process of life. You know, not to say I thought it would come any, like, so I thought we would grow old together, you know, whatever capacity it looked like for us. So it's just like, you know, now that he's not here, you definitely have to, you know, pull from the things he was teaching us all along that I was hearing, but wasn't really hearing. Because I'm not a person, I don't do the death talk. It was him. But now I'm like, man, I really see it. And so, yeah, I appreciate those words you just spoke over me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Like I said, this is a journey. I say, it's not, it's a journey. It really is. It's lifelong because it could be a smell. It can be somebody just saying something. I mean, it's crazy what will trigger you to be like, man, have I slid all the way back? No, it's just that reminder. I'm still human. I'm still trusting God to see me through.
Well, Ms. Georgia, we're going to switch gears and go a little bit into your professional, just some professional experience. Let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about therapy briefly. Do you think in-person therapy is more impactful than like virtual? Because, you know, of course, now we have all these virtual options. So I just wanted to know from your perspective, like, is it just about convenience, or do you think it's more, me personally, I'm more of a, I want to talk and see somebody, we're in the same space kind of person. I have to do virtual, I will, but I'm more so like that connection is what I kind of like. But what's your thoughts as a professional
perspective? In my opinion, it's based on the person. If a person is tuned in, just like we're talking here, it can work just fine. But if a person mentally, they're a wanderer, then it's not going to matter if you're in person or virtual. But I loved the opportunity to meet and talk in person because I feel like you are able to kind of make a different connection. But it doesn't matter. Just think about in the life that we're in now, you know, social media has taken over. Think about all the people who met people through social media and how they, you know what I'm saying? So it's about your mindset and what your expectations are on the counseling experience. Both ways. I've had customers, you know, clients who did not want to come in person because of their own issues, but they had the buy-in that they were, you know, every week at the right time, they were going to be there. They did they utilized the tools. They come back perfect. Mm-hmm. If you're not in it for the right reasons, it doesn't matter if it's in person or virtual.
Or virtual. Gotcha.
That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Like I said, I do love, you know, in person, but it's based on the client's needs. And if you have that buy-in, it doesn't matter. You can be in person or virtual and make the same impact.
Gotcha. So in thinking through that, Ms. Joy, I know earlier we touched on the five stages of grief. Of course, depression is something we talked about for a little minute. How do you suggest someone get out of that stage of grief? Because I think it can be really easy to stay in that depression state. Like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go eat. I don't want to do this or that. Any suggestions on that?
Yes. Well, for me, I tell people depression is one of those situations. I'm not even going to call it illness. I'm not going to call it a condition. I'm just going to say situation. Okay. Because when you label it, it's kind of like your mind wraps around it. Okay. We know depression comes in so many different forms and it affects people differently. The best way is routine. A person who is depressed has to try to maintain a routine to keep themselves going. If you know someone who works, who's depressed, well, they are functional depressed. You know what I'm saying? They can get through the day, but then on the weekends, they don't ever move. You see what I'm saying? Keeping a routine, keeping yourself involved in the things that bring you joy, because that purpose is how you work through depression. I tell people often, I said, routine. They're like, what are you talking about, routine? You find yourself, like people who become disabled after working, you know, 10 years, 20, whatever. Purpose. What's my purpose? You got to go back to what, because that was a routine, right? You know, you get up a certain time, you do this, you come back. You got to reestablish a routine for yourself to work the depression and not allow it to work you. So that routine, trying to be consistent, whatever your outlet is, you know, we hope it's something positive that you don't turn to, you know, something that's going to harm you. Looking for something positive. Like the thing about and the grief of death or whatever it can be, I tell you, we have to find out what was my role in this. Because your role changes. And if your role changes, how do I move into a different role? And most often than not, it's understanding who I am without that person or without that thing, our identity. Who am I now? Routine, reestablishing your purpose, understanding who you are is the only way to push, you know what I mean? Pressing through depression. Those are always my tools. When I'm counseling, I say, we sit back, I said, after the tears, after numbness with the depression, who are you? I often ask them, who are you? What do you want out of life? You know, because because you can go from depression into hopelessness. And that's why you reestablish yourself, keep saying, okay, what is it that keeps me moving? What is it that I want to do? How do I get there? So shall a man thinketh as he. So you see what I'm saying?
Yep, I do. Mm-hmm.
Power. There's so much power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And that is so true when you're speaking with depression. You hear me?
Yeah, that's very true. So switching gears from that, Ms. Georgie, how do you know you're beginning to heal? Because I had a situation that occurred a couple days ago, and I woke up regular day, you know, just like, okay, I got to go visit these daycares. I went, visited one, did some documentation. Okay, because it's like after Thanksgiving, so we've got over the holiday, right? And so then I come back home. And my day is done from work, which seemed typical. And then it's like, oh, my goodness, today is the day that this boy left this earth 7 months ago. But I was told by two people, Tiffany, that means that you're in the process of starting to heal. Not that you forgot that day, but you was once again in your routine. And you even wrote the date, 12/3/2024. And it did not click in your head then. It wasn't until you got home and everything that's normal to you is over with the workday that it just hits. Mm-hmm. And so it made me think, like, does that mean I'm healing? Or like, what? How do we know when we're starting to heal from grief? Or can you heal from grief? You know, I don't know. It may be a three-part question. I just want to know what your thoughts are around it.
Okay. So first of all, how do you define healing? Number one. Mm-hmm. So you have to always think about, how do I define healing? And what does healing look like? Okay, healing when we're sick or we got a cut or we had surgery, that means that it's now, you know, back to its normal, you know, our skin is now back connected, okay? We don't have stitches or we don't have, okay? So that's healing. It's now, you know, like the scab, okay? Yeah. Let's look at it just like that. So we've had surgery. It's cut open, right? And they've had to stitch it, whether it's with glue or whatever. Well, you know, you get that scab first, right?
Yes.
Start kind of hard, and you got to keep, you know, making sure it's clean and all of that. Yeah. Then, you know, that's that layer, it has to peel off, right?
Right.
And then, finally, you can kind of see where there's no more blood. It's kind of, you know, it's not your tone. It has not matched your natural tone. It's still lighter. And then, finally, gradually comes back to your natural skin tone. But yet, that scar is still there, right?
Right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
So healing is about what my expectations are of healing. Am I able today to get up and feel good about myself, feel that I'm making some progress? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm healing, right? It's a process. And let's not trick ourselves into thinking healing is a sign of completion in grief. You know what I'm saying? You can't look at it like a sign of completion. Like, I'm over there. I can do this now. Because what did I tell you? It could be 20 years from now, and you going through and you looking and you think, oh my God, they're gone for real. Yeah. It could be a song and it just comes back to you just like, oh, does that mean I'm no longer healed? Of course, that does not mean I'm no longer healed, but I'm still human. But as I'm able to move forward, as I'm able to pour into others, am I, you know, able to kind of enjoy life? Then it's a constant process as I'm healing. It didn't say that I am healed, right?
Right.
Healed versus healing.
Healing.
So
let's
choose our words. Let's look at what our expectations are. So am I healing? Yes. Yes, you're healing. But at what point are you gonna put the stamp on it and say, I'm healed? Right. We don't know if that ever truly happens.
Yeah.
But we understand and can appreciate things have gotten easier. Things have gotten easier. I can breathe a little better today. I can walk a little differently today. I can feel myself a little bit better today, you know? I'm able to complete a task that I hadn't been able to complete. I'm able, you know what I'm saying? So healing is a process. Healed sounds like it's complete. But remember now, any surgery, anything that's happened, that scar is what? Still there. Even today, at the best plastic surgeon or whatever, you can look and say, there's a dot. I remember having chicken pox. I still got a dot. And that's been over 50 years almost, you know. Maybe not 50, but 40 something for real. And I still have a dot.
I got chicken pox in somewhere on my forehead still where I scratched it and wasn't supposed to. So I like that you broke that down.
Right.
The words matter. And so that is really important. And every word, like you say, healing versus heal, two totally different. When we weigh that scale, two totally different meanings. So thank you for bringing that to my attention, because now I can look at that question different and also look at my own situation different as well. Like you say, it's a process. It's a process. So
right. And that's what I said, don't get stuck in, you know, don't take anything for granted. Every day that you're able to do something that you weren't able to do a month ago, guess what? You're healing. You're walking into that purpose. You know what I'm saying? Healing purpose. So.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Somebody, one of my mom's church members said, they told my mom if Tiffany's getting up taking a shower today, she's on her way. She's on her way.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that simple. She said, because in her, she's a nurse practitioner in her practice. She's seen it where that people, not, that's not even an option for people. So that really makes a lot of sense.
Right.
When you're wrapping it around that way.
I'm telling you are farther along than you realize. You hear me?
I've been told that. I don't feel like it, but I've definitely been told that a few times. So I appreciate you for reconfirming that, because that's beneficial for me too. And I'm sure it is for other people as well. When other people can recognize what you don't always recognize in yourself. And I think it's really important. Really important.
Yeah, just be kind to yourself. Yeah. I tell people, be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that.
As you know, now you can just be just critical of everything. You know, don't aspire into that negative. Like, you know, I just can't believe, why would this happen? And people look doing this. And, you know, because you become judgmental because you can't understand why people are able to still function. And why are you doing, you know what I'm saying? Step back, be kind. To yourself and understand everything is a process, because we want it right now. We want to know exactly who, what, when, how, and how dare you. You know what I'm saying? But then you gotta say, that's a whole lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of energy, and that'll build up. So be kind to yourself. So what is your routine to, you know, is it a walking, a dance routine? Is it a singing routine? What is it that frees your mind so that your body can follow? You know what I'm saying? Got to be kind.
That's a good point, Ms. Jordan.
Be kind to yourself.
I guess this next question, what I wrote was this. I'm going to see if it makes sense. I'm just going to read it because it's kind of long. What would you tell a person who is making every effort to move forward in life but still struggles with the extreme highs and lows of grief? So I guess it goes back to that whole roller coaster, how one minute you may be in denial, one minute you may be like, okay, I can accept this. What would you tell that person? The example I had wrote out was kind of what I just told you. You know, at 4:30 on a Friday, you know, I probably didn't talk to some coworkers. Everybody has their plans for the weekend. Well, now my plans are completely different. And it may start out like, oh, it's Friday. It is the weekend. But then it's like, my weekend is completely different. This is not the same weekend I've been accustomed to for 19 years. So what would you tell that person that kind of goes through that? Because for me, it makes me feel like, oh, I feel like I'm so, kind of what we just talked about. It may be the same question. But so I'm further along, but then it's like, I get knocked right back down. Like last night, it's like, okay, I'm counting down the time to all this stuff happen. I'm counting down the time until his daddy called me. And so I just started going downhill, and like, I'm just ready to go to sleep at this point. So just those extreme highs and lows, any advice more than what you've already given on that? And I'm assuming that it's probably completely normal too.
Yeah, it goes back to being kind to yourself. It's good to acknowledge, and I know Fridays are very hard for you. Sometimes I'm compelled and guided to send you something on a Friday. Sometimes it's like, pray.
Yeah,
just be kind to yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why am I not doing something? Why have I not made plans?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, it's
true.
Never going to be the same. But why have I not? So, you know, you being able to go and do that whole thing, you know, that was something different outside of the norm. But it's almost like now you have to find what works for you on a Friday night, a Friday evening. If you want to go to the movies, if you want to, whatever that is, if you want to sit and have your music on, dancing in the middle of the floor, you know, with yourself, or choose to go, you know, say, hey, I'm gonna choose to be friends with someone outside of, you know what I'm saying? Because your friendships were pretty much rooted around Quentin. And you gotta go back and say, now, who was I friends with before? Are we not at the same level? I mean, you got Rosalind, you know what I'm saying? She's gonna always be Rosalind to you, know what I'm saying? It's like at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's like everybody started moving and doing their own things because we get older. So
that's true.
Now on a Friday, say, what does Tiffany want to do? And anybody who's struggling, just like you're saying that you are, be kind to yourself and say, what is it I would do if I didn't have? Because you remember, think about the times you were able to compromise what y'all did on a Friday versus what you wanted to do. Now you don't have to compromise that. It's about you.
That's true.
So rather than dwell on, okay, it's this time, I know it's about to happen, I can't believe it. What do I want to do? What did I compromise on year after year after year just to save face? Because sometimes, you know, it's going to be my way, and he compromised. More often than not, I'm probably compromising because I had to grow accustomed to this lifestyle. I'm thinking, man, it's got to be more to life than us going to church.
You know,
go play these cards. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, you're thinking. But because you were more introverted, you were comfortable with that one-on-one or two or three, four, five people versus get the big crowd that he could just vibe in. You looking like, what? And if you don't
sit down. Who are
you? Sit down. You don't know these
very
people.
Protected, for sure.
So,
yeah.
Right. So now where you are, let's start planning some things instead of just sitting waiting on the time for that call, that when that call happened and how it made you feel, like that's when the walls closed in, you know, that's everything began to crumble. So now it's like, okay, I compromised on this because he didn't like doing this, so I'm gonna go paint, I'm gonna get my canvas, and I'm gonna have, you know, my music going, and you say, hey y'all want to paint? Or go to the paint place, because you don't even get the canvases now. Like, I'm going to have a paint party. Or we're going to, you know what I'm saying? Things that you enjoy, but you stop doing as a result of. Finding out, I tell everybody, find what you enjoy and reestablish who you are.
Yeah, that makes sense, Ms. Georgie. It really does. I've had a few people, you know, say you just have to find ways to, like you say, stuff that brings you joy and the things that you like. Because like you said, I mean, when you are with somebody from that period of time, I mean, I have the things I may do on a Friday night. He has the things we may do. But it's always like, we know it's an option. We can go get something to eat on Friday for Jusu or Saturday or whatever. And now that that is completely broken, it's very difficult, and it's very different because we were so tied into, you know, just our daily interactions. And so now it's like, I got to, like you say, whole new routine. So yeah, I appreciate that answer for sure. So let me ask you this, in thinking about that, Ms. Georgie, I know you mentioned earlier, of course, you are not a psychiatrist. I guess that's who really prescribes like medications. But I wanted to know your perspective on people who are dealing with grief. For me, I mean, I lost my appetite, still sometimes don't have one. Sleeping has not been the easiest thing for me since all this has happened. How do you feel like medication can benefit a person when it comes to the bodily just functions of them, you know, being able to, you know, live and grieve properly? Because have I felt like I was losing my mind? Yes, a whole lot. Did I ever feel like I needed medication for my mind? Like I want to, you know, like I may do something crazy. No, not really. But the sleep stuff, the not eating stuff, like you have to eat. Like you can't just not, my mom would be like, Tiffy, you have to eat this sandwich. I don't care if you take 3 bites, you got to eat something.
Right.
And for me, I was completely shut down from all of it for months. Like I'm not eating like I typically would. And so I just wanted to know your perception of the whole bringing medication into something when you're grieving.
Right. And of course, that's a case by case basis, a study, of course, but you have to do what you think is best. For you. That's any individual. Because if you can't get your mind to shut off, it's going to be very difficult to sleep. So meditation is at the top of my list. I mean true meditation.
Meditation.
Being able to just disconnect from everything and everybody. If that works for you, go for it. I tell people if melatonin, if it works, that's a little, you know, natural. If it works, go for it. You have to sleep or your body will never heal. Your mind, you know, so you have to look at, hey, can I have a low dose of something if that's what it takes? But at the end of the day, mind, body, and soul, we're not pieces of people. So therefore, you have got to make sure you gain control of your mind, because then the rest... Okay. It's going to align. So if you can figure out if I meditate, if I do the, you know, whatever that is, you know, just even just sitting here now, you know, just if you find out what's calming, what's soothing, that's going to relax you to the point where, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm good for today. You know, I've had all this hustle and bustle, but I'm good today. If medication works, I say low dose. I try something natural first. Because at the end of the day, that's only a tool, okay? It's only a tool. Right, you don't never want to mask that, you know, with something. Yeah. Because then there goes another thing. Oh, are you abuse? You know, you're doing substance abuse now? No. Mm-hmm. I just need something at this point just to keep, you know, keep me mellow. Yeah. Like I need to be able to go to sleep at night. You may not need anything for the course of the day. I don't need an upper and a downer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to first acknowledge what's the need, and then go from there. I'm not anti-medication, but I do feel people have to first work on themselves and look at alternatives to be able to, because like I said, we're whole people. And, you know, sometimes, like just like with hunger, most of the time we really are thirsty. You know, so if I pick up this bottle of water, I drink this bottle of water, am I really hungry or was I really thirsty?
Thirsty. Makes sense.
How am I gonna quiet my mind? So do I just need to have to maybe check something off for the day so I can breathe? Like, okay, I got that accomplished. You know how we are. High stress, and it feels so good when you're able to say, I'm finished.
Yes.
That's the same thing about being able to go to sleep at night. How do I wind down, shut my brain off to say, I am at peace? Peace is what's gonna get us to be able to go to sleep. And not, you know, wake up and, you know, it's a nightmare. Like, this has really happened to me. It's it's that peace that you're trying to get to be able to cut your brain off to say it's time to get up. It's time to lay down.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no, I'm not anti-medication, but it's case by case. And people have got to do the things that they know are going to help them.
Makes sense. And Ms. Georgia, we're getting close to the end. A lot of the questions that I have, life coach questions, you kind of already answered. I was going through looking at them. But I think a lot of it you have already mentioned in on. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, because you talked about, I was going to ask you about, like, what's some positive resolutions for someone who's grieving in this new year, but routine and just a lot of the stuff you've already mentioned falls right into that category. I will ask you this, though, and then we'll wrap. You know, you've mentioned, of course, you do like the Marvelous Monday, the Terrific Tuesday, all the positivity, you know, like positive affirmations starting, you know, every day of the week. How do you find joy in each day?
Well, you know, when you've gone through life-changing situations where you could be here, you could not, I look at it as appreciation. I look at it as opportunity. I say I can choose. When I talked about, you know, you can choose, connect, and communicate. I choose to live and not exist. So I choose every day as an opportunity to walk into purpose positively. We know life happens. So what I say to people, let's start the day with, I don't care what happens today. I'm up. I'm moving. Guess what? Yeah. This is going to be super Saturday because I got that opportunity. How am I going to impact my life first and foremost? That is something that I can achieve that I had on that to-do list, number one.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I look at it as, I have to say, positive affirmations because life is real. I stayed in the negative and listen to entertain all the negative people, that's why I would tell you what, protect your peace. I can't help you when I'm still going through. I can say I love you, but I can't help you today. I can't help you because of what? I have not replenished. I have not been able to go to the fountain myself and refuel and replenish my cup. You hear me? So until that happens, hey, it's Super Saturday. I love you. I get back with you. Because I'm struggling today just to keep myself moving. So I choose those things because I realize there's so much that's going to happen. It's a choice, number one.
I
know that I'm have to connect with somebody throughout this day, but I want that connection to be positive. We may have to, you know, some disciplinary action, but even with that, I'm choosing that as something positive because I'm gonna ask them, what could you do
differently?
Keep me from having this conversation with you.
Reflection.
I'm gonna communicate. Why? Because it's two way. I can talk to you, but if you're not receptive to what I'm saying, that's not communication.
No, it's not.
So I choose to be positive, to do all of those things, because at the end of the day, when everybody else is gone and it's just me, I have to know that what I've done this day was meaningful.
Was meaningful. Got it.
Yeah, so why I do it is because I know life is life in every day. And I got to start the day and keep my mindset up. I don't care what you're talking about. I'm still trying to do what I need to do. Go away from me with all that negativity because I'm on a different journey. So that's how, and that's why I do that, Tiffany, because like I said, I realize it's a struggle for me, for you every day just to get up and say, I got
to
do this.
Just
but why I'm doing it,
day.
Because I feel like we are both resources. We both have something to offer and contribute to other people. And because of that, we got to start it with being positive.
Yes, that is true. And from that question, I'm going to ask you, this is really going to be the last question in this section. I guess this will be kind of a personal question. If you could have a song that was your life story, what would that song be?
Wow.
I know that's
Tiffany,
a big
I'm about
question.
To go into my repertoire here.
Quinn was just always into music, and that's something I ask every single guest when we get ready to wrap up is, if you name a song that would be your life story.
You know, man, my life story. You know, A God of a Second Chance? I sing that song. God of a Second Chance. But, you know, really, he's a God of many, many chances. I'm glad I serve a God of another chance. That's it.
Yeah,
because I messed up.
But
he forgave me.
And
I think, you know, when I was even at my lowest, he lifted me. He allowed me to go through this, you know. I tell people, I said, I had an illness. I was not sick. I had a condition. That's what was my term. I have a condition. I'm not going to put a label on and it be negative because that means I have to own it, right? A God of another chance. That's it.
A God of another chance.
Because even when I am not worthy, That's my life story. You know, I you made a way too, you know.
Yeah, that's a good
one. My back was against the wall.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's made
those
a way.
Those are two good ones, yeah.
So I would have to say that opportunity through all the things that we've gone through is the opportunity. How yeah. we choose to live after the situation, after the tragedy, after yeah. the trauma, after the loss. What are we going to do with the opportunity we have left? Because yeah. what it is about living mm-hmm. versus existing, think about all the people who just exist because it's a matter of choice, number one. They yeah. think they're doing the best they can with what they got, but if they go back, they look, there's so much waste. And they yeah. put themselves in a financial hardship. They find mm-hmm. themselves, you know, surrounding themselves with negative people, so they're not able to grow. We right, boxed in. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
What opportunities are we going to choose mm-hmm. with the time that mm-hmm. we have left until our yeah. assignment is completed? So choose to live, choose to connect positive, choose to communicate effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Grief is yeah. real. It's a journey that none of us can take lightly. It's going to touch all of us if it has not already. But yeah. what you have to do is find meaning. As we go into the new year, find meaning, yeah. reestablish your identity, do something that you enjoy for yourself. Yeah. Every day, meditate and pray. Mm-hmm. Press. You hear me? You got to praise yeah. it, number one, and press and pray. And I guarantee yeah. you, I guarantee you, your life is going to be worth living, and it won't be in vain.
In vain. That's good. That's good. So, Miss Georgie, we wrapping up. I'm going. I don't know how many people know that you are a counselor, therapist, and all of that. How can people reach out to you? Do you have like social media? Do you have a company name, or just let everybody know like how they can reach out to you for these counseling?
Look, Tim, I'm sitting there looking like, do I have my card with me? It's really, I don't. And this is the thing. Okay. I have not done yeah, a whole yeah. lot lately. I have this full-time job that I have. Blessed be the rock of all salvation.
That's right.
But people still reach out to me on my cell. That's what's on my business card.
And
I probably will send you a copy. You might need to redo
that's
it or
fine.
Something at some point.
Yeah, and what I can do,
because
I can
it has my
it.
Appointment.
Yeah, I can drop it in the description of this video.
Well, how
they can reach out to you. Do you accept insurance, or is it just like self-pay sliding scale? How is that?
This is only private pay.
Private pay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's only private pay, and I do a sliding scale.
Okay.
Yes, and it's private pay, and it's a sliding scale. You know me, I'm generous. I'm just want to help people, so I'm probably going to stab myself. When I have to do it full-time, it'll be a different thing. I'll be on every panel then going, okay, she's here she is. She's on this panel, because to get on the licensure panel for insurance, it's a process. And so most people have always just said, okay, if I go into a full-time, I probably will have no other choice.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that. I'm trying to now make some life transitions myself, Tiffany. That's funny you would ask me that. I've been looking real seriously about what I want that to look like, because typically I've used like libraries. I've gone to other offices, churches. They've been gracious to allow me to meet in person at those locations. And of course, if I do it on a full-time basis, then I have to have the clientele to back me for the overhead costs. Right. So that's why I said I typically do meet people where they are, but I'm not going to, it's individualized. I've done some free counseling because I felt like it was some youth. I felt like they needed to see things differently. Cost wise, as low as $25 or $50, you know. Gotcha. I'm not chopping you off, you know. The initial assessment, of course, has to be a little more, but even with that, I'm not going to let that be a hindrance for someone who's seeking help. So I will keep sending you my card so you can get it.
Yeah, and I'll add it all to this post and to this information. Last but not least, Ms. Georgie, I know I was going to ask you any other ventures you would like to promote, but I know you mentioned the grief. What did you call it? The grief?
The grief support.
The grief support. You want to tell us a little bit about that, mm-hmm. what it is?
Okay, well, it just kind of happened. And we have not met probably, in months, but this one I was going to reach out to is a follow-up with them just to see how things are going. It was really composed of a lot of widows. Actually, I had a lot of widows. I had some who had lost children. It was just great, great, great group. And it was women. I've had one male who reached out, but he never joined us.
Okay.
We just kind of did, some things like one-on-one, but mm-hmm. it was a group of women and we met weekly. I can't remember the day now, but we did form our own little messenger group that we kind of touched base. I kind of took some of them now just individually just to follow up to see how they're doing. But it's strange how it happened, but it was really primary widows and individuals, mothers, who had lost their children. And it was just a support. It was not a counseling group. It was a support group. They went through the curriculum. We had shared with one another. And it was really faith-based. I didn't go into it really. I just wanted it to be an outlet so that people could sit, talk, and support. And so we were just walking in trust in God, women, just trusting God to be able to be the guide. And so we didn't want it to be just women. So we said, walk in trusting God. So anybody, it was open to anybody, but it was primarily women, but it was just a support. We would go through, what can I do to get from this place to this place? So it would be questions that I would ask, and then they were able to write. And able to see their thoughts. Sometimes I didn't share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Journaling, of course, we always encourage, but sometimes you have to write that letter to the individual or to the situation. And then, of course, you burn it, to say, okay, I got it all out. I don't want anybody else to see it, so I'm going to burn it.
Uh-huh.
That's more beneficial than most people realize in trying to get through these stages of grief and understanding how to keep moving beyond the hurt. So, like I said, it was just a support group. If anyone is interested, I definitely would start it back. But like I said, as we close in the year, I'm going to be checking on my people because the holidays are always the hardest for everyone. Yeah. But I want everybody to look at holiday as celebration. The holidays is when most, for some reason, you see more people passing away and it's like, it's not as enjoyable as it used to be. But that's not the purpose. That's not what it's intended to be. It's supposed to be love. And we're supposed to surround ourselves with individuals who love us, to support us. Mm-hmm. Because as we're going through, they're going through as well. And so we just want to remember that as we go through the holidays and we're starting, that people know, because this is going to be aired later, but I want them to look at holidays as love. And as we start in the new year, it'd be founded on love and purpose. Be kind to ourselves. Be kind to yourself. And look in the mirror every day and say, I'm going to be great. I'm going to get through this. Why? By God's grace. Yeah. That's another song, Tiffany.
That is another one. Well, I appreciate that, Ms. Georgie.
I'm going to have to pull them all out today.
I know. Keep me posted on that because, it's crazy. Just this year, I mean, people I've graduated with, all of us, a lot of us, we have lost our significant others, our guys, Vila, Starisha, this other lady that Reverie, Aunt Sana's sister, said her fiance passed. And we're all under 40 years old. And so, just to know that it's something out there like that, that type of support group, we weren't married to our people, but we had long-term, you know, right. relationships, or even if it was short-term
term relationships,
you know, your relationship, it don't even matter the time, your relationship, mm-hmm. the person, your relationship. And so I think, right. yeah, keep me posted on that. If y'all move forward in doing that again, because I think it would be really beneficial, you know, to several,
yes,
people
absolutely.
That I know personally that is dealing with this. And we're, like I say, I mean, we're not okay. old, but we're not young either. But, you know, we're like in these pivotal right. moments of our lives where it's like, okay, now it's time to have kids, get married, da, da. And it's just like, oh, this is a mm-hmm. hard stop for all three of us for sure that I know of. And so right. it's just like,
okay,
man. But yeah, keep me posted on that for sure, because I would love to share that information
I will.
With him and just okay. just to get the information. And it's crazy you mentioned that. Me and Quinn's mother, we did a grief group surviving the holidays last November, and it was just a 1-day session, so I see how that kind of benefited us. So I can only imagine like having this
okay.
you know, type being a part of something like that. So keep me posted on that.
All right.
But Miss Georgie, I really appreciate you for being on today. I appreciate your time, your wisdom. I knew that you would be able to bring what we needed for this new year for sure. And I'm just appreciative of you for sure. And I always tell people, you're welcome. A lot of people, you know, they call and reach out, gift cards and things like that. And I always want to give my guests something for coming on. So I will make sure you get your gift card just for being on today, because I don't count it as, you know, I appreciate that, because you have a busy schedule through the week. I'm sure your weekends are full with your husband, the kids, and especially them grandkids, always been involved in something. So yes. I just appreciate your time today. I really, really, really.
Well, thank you. Like I said, of course, if you need me again, or if we want to, you know, another segue, you know, a couple yeah. months, another quarter, whatever, let me know. I would love to, if we, you know, you decide you want to do just the platform with your mm-hmm. friends who, you know, who are we? You know, say, yeah. who are we
yeah.
without our yeah. significant others? You know, if you want right. to do something like that, just let me know.
Yeah, I will definitely.
And like I said,
that.
Thank you. It is Super Saturday. You know, I love you. And if there's anything, we still had yet to go to lunch. I tell you, it's called
life. I know, we gotta go.
Hey, I got this whole little thing.
We've got to go. We've got to do this.
It's so happy.
Yes. But I really appreciate it. And I end every session. Quinn used to say, all is well. And you probably remember that about him too. So I'm going to end our session today with all is well. And I think, Miss Georgia, I may do another poll and get some audience questions. And maybe in the spring of this year, we can come back and see, you know, what other questions people may have in regards to grief. And maybe you can answer some
okay.
Q&A session next time. I think that's important.
Absolutely.
For the group. So, all right. Well, I hope y'all all have a good week. Thank y'all for watching today. Thank Miss Georgina Porter Wilson for being on as my guest today. And all is well. We will see you guys next 2 weeks. Have a good one. Bye.
Peace and blessings.
We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.